Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. You are tuned into a very special episode. They are all special, but this one is just a little bit more than that. We will be speaking to authors this evening of the dope collection of poetry anthology, long anticipated and awaited, A Literary Assault on the American Mind. We will be speaking with Bruce Jennings shortly, and he is the publisher of A Literary Assault. So we will be kicking it with Tim and the authors, as well as you, for the rest of this evening. Before I get into all of that, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Dee Dee Wright. I am the author of Poetry to Life, Youth Struggle Love. If you have not yet purchased it, please do. It is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, Google Books, Author's House, most places where books are sold in hardcover, softcover, as well as ebook format. If you would like to get an autographed copy for a little bit less, you may visit my website, PoeticSoulInc.com. It will be there in your face. You may order a copy, and I'll sign it especially for you. I am also a veteran teacher of English language arts, currently and happily on vacation until September, as well as a representative of the Boogie Down Bronx in New York City every day, all day. I am also the small business owner of Poetic Soul, Inc., providing services for writers as well as handmade, homemade, artistic gifts just for the soul. Check me out once again, PoeticSoulInc.com. Let me go through a few of the protocols of this evening's episode, just in case this is your first time listening in, and if it is, welcome. You are very welcome. I'm glad that you're here. I'm sure you'll be inspired. If you are going to speak on the air this evening, please press star 1 on the phone lines, and you will go right into queue. I will definitely get to you before the end of the episode. However, if you're going to speak on the air this evening, please mute all background noise. It is somehow exacerbated on the air, and it will interrupt our abilities to hear one another, and your voice is important. We definitely want to hear what you have to say. So once again, mute all background noise, please, so that's not a factor. Please refrain from using any profanity. I do know, being a poet, we are very passionate about our ish. Like I just did, if necessary, please use improv, only because we do not want any of the listening audience members to be offended. So once again, if you must, please improv. If you have not yet followed the talk show, you really should. We've been on the air since June of last year. Please visit blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife, 2 being the number 2. Follow the show so you can be kept abreast of all future episodes, open mic episodes, as well as past episodes in which we've had many writers, authors, artists come through and bless the airwaves. Once again, you may follow us at blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife. Remember, 2 is the number 2. Or on Instagram at Poetic Soul Talk Show, in which that is also a community and in development. And we appreciate all of the supporters. So this evening, we will be discussing a literary assault. I'm going to introduce Bruce to the line. Once again, before I do, if you would like to speak, please press star 1 on the phone lines. You will go into queue. You are welcome to speak to Bruce and I. We're not going to eat you alive. Of course, we welcome and appreciate your voice as we celebrate and discuss a literary assault on the American mind. This was something Bruce definitely initiated. I'm so very happy that I was able to be a part of the project. So, yes, my poetry is also in the book, along with a lot of dope writers across the country. And y'all know dope is my favorite word. For those of you not familiar with that colloquialism, I just mean phenomenal and amazing, okay? Please definitely support us as we move forward with promoting this book. I'm going to welcome Bruce to the line. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Dee Dee. Thanks for having me. Definitely excited to be here. Definitely a great opportunity to talk about the project and just meet some of the followers and also introduce some of the great artists that I work with.
Yes. So, Bruce, before we get into the writers, and by the way, Bruce owns Silent Noise Publishing, which is the publishing company that produced A Literary Assault, in addition to other books. So definitely support him as well and follow him on Instagram at silentnoisepub.com on Instagram. But I'll ask you to share all of your contact information later on in the show. I do want to know, and I didn't even ask you this off the air, which is amazing because I'm so very inquisitive. What made you come up with this whole concept of a literary, because the title alone should make people rush to buy the book, A Literary Assault on the American Mind. What was your vision when this thought came to mind before this actually was manifested?
Just you know, I really wanted something aggressive to really catch the eye of anybody who kind of heard about the project, you know. And I think that, you know, in the times that we're in right now, you know, assault, you know, something, you know, with literature. And, you know, I thought about, like, a literary assault on America, but, you know, I kind of wanted to be cognizant of, you know, who was, like, looking at this. So I said a literary assault on American Plan would be a little something different to really catch the readers. So, you know, I think I wanted, like, the best of both worlds, and that's why I came up with the title.
That title alone, it just speaks volumes. And how do you feel about the vision prior to it being produced or born? And, you know, and where it is now, how do you feel overall? You were the overseer and the mind behind this, pulling us all together. How do you feel about it all from beginning to end?
I just feel blessed, you know, first and foremost. You know, I'm a spiritual person, so, you know, all praise is due to God, you know, because he gave me the vision and just the energy, because the project kind of almost took us, like, almost 2 years to kind of pull together, you know, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of emails, a lot of editing pictures, you know, talking back and forth to writers, you know, a lot of mistakes and corrections. So I feel so great about the actual finished product, and as well as the opportunity to work with 40 artists from around the world was just an awesome, you know, awesome experience.
Yes, and for those of you that don't know, Bruce Jennings is also an author himself, of two books of poetry, Bruce, or three? Is it two?
Three. Well,
three.
Two of my own, and, you know, two of my own, and then I have, you know, some poetry in this one.
Right, of course, and that poetry is also dope. I got the inside scoop, everybody, because, of course, I have my copy, being a contributing writer, and I was able to read it even before it was in the physical form, and I'm just so excited about it. I mean, I'm just super excited. And so what made you choose the authors that you offered this opportunity to? Was there something specific that you were looking for in someone's writing before approaching them with regards to who you wanted or who you foresaw being a contributing writer to this anthology?
Absolutely. A lot of writers I knew, based on, you know, some of the work that they kind of put out into the atmosphere. Some people were my friends that I knew that wanted to kind of break into the industry. Some family members on there, fraternity brothers. And then, you know, I met a lot of the newer artists on, you know, some of the social media sites like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So I would follow them. I was like, okay, I like this style and the diversity. You know, we have, you know, people from the LGBT community, Native American, African American, Jamaican, somebody from China, somebody from Canada, the West Coast, East Coast, North, South, a lot of major cities, you know, that's producing great work and great authors. So that was kind of like my scope of work, to try to get everybody together to create a diverse picture and get different voices and perspectives.
Absolutely. Well, kudos to you. I think you did that and then some, you know, just meeting the authors. By the way, on Bruce's Instagram page, which is at Silent Noise Pub, he has posted all of the pictures and brief bios of each of the authors who have contributed, not all of which would be available on this evening's episode, but definitely an option for you all to become familiar with the writers if that may or may not, you know, I'm sure it will encourage you to purchase this book and just to have it. I think it's going to be considered historical literature at some point in time, if not, you know, immediately. So definitely thank you, Bruce, because I could only imagine the amount of time and energy you personally put into this project just to give other people an opportunity. I mean, you could have opted to do your own book and you wouldn't have had, you know, the headaches I'm sure sometimes you may have had with this, but we appreciate you.
Word up. I appreciate you, BD, just you know, giving us an opportunity to speak on the air about it, and just being a cheerleader, a rock in your community, and then, like, last and especially not least, just a new and emerging voice that is going to, like, really carve out her spot in the literary world. So I appreciate you also.
Thank you. And yes, sir, I intend to put my fork in the ground. I'm not going anywhere. For those of you tuned in, you're tuned in to A Literary Assault. Right now we're speaking to Bruce Jennings, the mastermind behind this book of poetry, a literary collection of poetry, A Literary Assault on the American Mind. If you would like to join us at any point in time, please press star 1. If you're listening on the phone line, if you're listening online at blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife, please feel free to send your questions, comments, feedback, and I will definitely read them aloud on the air this evening before the episode ends. You are tuned into A Literary Assault. So there are some callers that have contributed to the book that I would like to bring in and on. I know you have some special questions. And by the way, for those of y'all that are tuned in, the question of the evening, whether you are a contributing writer to this anthology or not, is how do you feel about America? And that's not a trick question. Of course, please, once again, do not use any profanity because sometimes we feel that way. But we do want to hear your voice and what it is you have to say. And definitely feel free to press star 1 once again on the phone line. We do have a caller waiting. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from?
Fareed Holmes from Atlantic City.
Can you repeat your name?
Fareed Holmes from Atlantic City.
Tyreed, welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you. For calling in. Are you a contributing writer?
Yes, I am.
Yay! Welcome. Even more welcome, right? That's kind of bootleg for me to do that when other people who aren't writers in the book. Please don't be discouraged by that. I just love to hear the voices of people whose writing I've read. And I vaguely remember that name amidst the pages of A Literary Assault. So welcome to the show this evening. I'm glad you were able to call in.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Would you like to share with the audience how you felt about the process and the whole journey of A Literary Assault on the American Mind?
Bruce is my chapter brother of my fraternity.
Shout to our fraternity out real quick.
Omega Psi Phi Fraternity, Suicide Psi Lambda Chapter.
All right, now.
Me and Bruce linked about, I crossed in summer 2006, but me and Bruce, we really linked in about 2009. He ran the poetry jam at the flagship. And my first day there, it was a nice crowd, nice scene. And, I thought to myself, maybe I could write something. So, a friend of mine, they challenged me to write something, and I came. And, from there, it's been a beautiful situation.
That's great.
The process with the book, like Bruce said, it's been a lot of emails, trying to get the right picture together, trying to get the right pieces. I sent Bruce a million and one emails, but finally he got back to me, and, the pieces that he selected, I think that he had the best interest at heart. And, the pieces that he actually put in there, Black Something, I'm glad that he did. That was one that, I put together one night. I was just, thinking of everything just black. Because sometimes when we think of black, we think of things that are evil. Black cats, nighttime,
mm-hmm.
Things of that nature. So I wanted to...
I get it. Is he there?
Yeah, he might have jumped off.
You there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes. We can hear you now.
Okay.
So you were saying that, a lot of the times there's a negative connotation with the word black with regard
yes.
to negative images and things of that nature.
Right, like when we, when we think of black, the negative on black is, black witches or black cats or, the night. Sometimes, people think it's, black as being, ugly. But, I didn't. I seen, different with that. And I just thought of, many of things that, are beautiful that were black. And so that's where the title, Black Something, and I let, the readers decide, you know, anything that you want to pick out that's, you know, beautiful in your eyes that is black, you know, that's for you to pick out. You know, I'm just the writer. That's why it was titled Black Something.
Wow. Well, do you have that piece available to share with the audience this evening to give them a sneak peek? I mean, you've done a great job at explaining, you know, the purpose behind the poem itself. And this is definitely an opportunity for you to share it with the audience. I'm pretty sure they're going to want to hear snippets and previews.
You want me to do the whole thing or just, you know, I'll give you a couple bars.
Okay. So whenever you're ready,
we're
listening.
Sorry. A couple stanzas.
Okay. You said some bars. We understood exactly what you meant.
Yeah,
whenever
for,
you're ready, we're listening.
For the viewers. Black art, black minds, black creations, black nothings, paintbrushes and poetic pieces turned into black somethings, black books, black people, black clouds, black hair, black us, black them, black-minded thoughts seep deep-rooted from black hairs, black women, black mothers, black fathers, black children, black stones, black cats, black dogs, circle around these black buildings, black ink, black paint, black paintbrushes, black utensils, black markers, black crayons, black pens, black pencils, configured into black tales, black history, black stories, and black fiction, blank announcements, black facts, black us, black mentions, black something, black something, black something, black everything, black skies, black clouds, black stars, all black everything, black us, black features, black hair, black skin, black waters, black spirituals, black mothers, black whips beat on the backs of black men, black camaraderie, black friendship, black bonds, black unity, black plays, black musicians, black poetry, black communities, black kings, black queens, black crowns, black royalty, black initiative, black cooperation, black commitment, black loyalty, black love, black wives, black husbands, black marriage, black sands, black pyramids, black diamonds, black atlas, black museums, black inventions, black art, black genius, black hymns, black churches, black classes, black Jesus, black secrets, black lies tried to tell us we were all nothing, but paintbrushes and poetic pieces turned us all into black somethings.
Mm. Ooh, you need some music behind that. We can the finger snapping up in here this evening. That was dope. The way you read it, I mean, along with the words itself, but just the rhythm is just penetrates the mind, and I guess that's why Bruce chose it for the book, because it definitely speaks to, you know, an American experience. I won't say everyone's, but one of them.
Yeah, definitely. Especially what we're going through now, which, you know, modern-day racism, issues with the police, politics, schools, the economy. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate your time and your contributions and you sharing your thoughts so openly and candidly. I don't know, Bruce, did you want to say something or ask something before we go to the next caller? Not that I do hope that you stay with us, of course, for the rest of the episode. But, yeah, Bruce, did you want to chime in with anything?
Yeah, I mean, like, just that, like you said, just that intensity with Irie's piece, I mean, it translates on the page just as strong as he reads it, you know. So, I mean, it was just a poem that stuck out to me, and it all fit together, you know, just how he jumped from, you know, the first stanza to the last, you know, just so excited about, you know, just giving this young king a voice, because he's heavy in his community. Like, everybody knows where he's from. And like I said, like, he'll make you laugh, but he'll make you think on the same breath. So, I mean, that's my heart, man. He's just a good brother. So, I mean, I'm just glad he had the opportunity to get something out, and more to come from this young brother.
Yes. And we look forward to that. We salute you. Please stay with us for the rest of the episode.
I'm here.
Okay. Hold on one moment. You all are tuned in to A Literary Assault. Y'all are meeting the authors this evening on the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Bruce is staying on the line with us for the rest of the episode. If you haven't pre-ordered, please do so. Go to silentnoisepublishing.com and order a literary assault on the American mind. It is such a diverse collection of literature and poetry that so much time was put into. And we're going to continue to talk to authors and even you, if you would like to speak, we welcome your voice as well. If you have questions for Bruce or any of the authors, please feel free to press *1 on the phone line, and I will definitely get to your call before the end of the episode. I'm going to the next caller. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to, and where are you calling from? Hello? Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show.
Hello?
Hi, how are you? Who are we speaking to, and where are you calling from? Hello, can you hear us? If you can, please hang up and call back. There may be some type of connectivity issue. I do want to go on to the next caller.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who are we speaking to and where are you calling from?
This is Tamia Murphy calling from Galloway, New Jersey.
Hi, Tamia, Mimi So Free. How are you?
Hi, DB. I'm good.
That's great. I'm so glad you were able to call in this evening. I'm all smiles.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Tamia Murphy, also a contributing writer to the a Literary Assault on the American Mind. So, Tamia, share with us your perspective of the book, the process, the experience of coming from the very beginning to this final product. How do you feel about it?
When Bruce first brought the project to me, I was grateful that he had asked me to be a part of it. And just the whole process of writing, when he sat down, I'm a procrastinator. So both of the poems, it actually took me 10 minutes to write each one. It just flowed right along with the theme and just keeping in touch with where we are in America. As far as one of the poems is entitled Beauty. So as a teacher, seeing the
shout out
women,
to the educators. Shout out to us. I'm listening.
Seeing the young women go through the challenges of not only puberty but just trying to fit in and to conform within society, it really touched me. And I think that America puts out this ideal that if you're not a size 2, you're not beautiful. And I just wanted to touch on that and captivate that feeling.
In the poem, in the book, entitled Beauty, are you going to share that with us this evening? Do you feel comfortable sharing piece or that piece from the book?
I can share, yes. Okay.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, we're listening.
How do we succumb to the ridiculous American standards of beauty when women are walking around getting breast implants, liposuction, Botox, and injections in the booty? Why is it okay for everyone to think it's great to be paper thin? They should understand that real, true beauty definitely comes from within. I've never had aspirations to be a size 2, 4, 6, or 8, and because I'm a plus-size chick, America thinks I'm supposed to self-hate? Man, get the heck out of here with that. As long as I'm living healthy, I'm great where I'm at. Yeah, I tried the waist trainers and even some of those wraps, and all that really did for me was to hide a little bit of fat. So I'm good with hitting the gym a couple days a week, toning up my muscles. I'm not poor, but I'm darn sure not rich enough to keep paying for these people's hustle. Beauty shouldn't be measured by the size of your waist. Beauty should be measured by your ability to put a smile on someone's face and your ability to help someone in need, not by this ridiculous American standard that is known as greed. So the next time you look in the mirror, smile at yourself and say, I'm beautiful in my own skin. Forget the American way.
Yes, yes, and yes some more. And that was beautiful. And I love to read something and then hear the voice, you know, express it from which it came. So I'm just bubbling all over inside, Tamia. You don't even have any idea. I'm like, yes. Now, let me just throw this out there. I'm sorry?
I said with the alterations, I had to take out the profanity.
Yeah, we noticed, and you did a good job. Thank you. You did a good job at that.
Thank you.
I did want to say, you're welcome, just quickly before bringing Bruce in, I think one of the misconceptions of the weight issue when it comes to females, because I am, I'm more like a size one, and I'm not saying that for bragging purposes at all. I'm saying because at one point I was eating mashed potato sandwiches to gain weight because the community that I grew up in, you know, being African-American in an urban setting where everyone has big booties, big boobs, and all kinds of things, I kind of felt like I should have been in Beverly Hills. I was in the wrong space, and it impacted my self-esteem growing up the same way I would assume America has this impact on women who are larger or heavier or bigger and just, you know, feel the need to go to extreme measures to be small. And
right.
So it could go either way. And at the end of the day, like your poem said, we need to feel good about who we are regardless of who we are and refuse to alter ourselves in ways not meant for us. And so I love the poem and the whole idea behind just loving yourself the way that you are.
Thank you.
I just wanted to throw that out there. You're so welcome. Bruce, is there anything, you know, you want to add, say, speak while he is on the line?
Yeah. Just another jewel, you know, Tamia, you know, that's been writing for years, and just a real sound, strong, positive writer, you know, positive person in her community. You know, like if you go to Atlantic City and you say her name, everybody's going to know her just as, you know, a person who's, you know, works late, you know, out there coaching, out there, you know, working in the community. And I think that this is just another thing that she could put in her bag, you know, as another accomplishment. And just like I said, the poem, it speaks for itself, you know, something that, you know, is totally a current topic, a current issue in America. And then when you add the poetic verse and the poetic voice, it just makes the message come across even stronger. So, you know, just, you know, I applaud, you know, Tamia, just for sharing this, you know, these jewels with the readers.
As I do the same. Tamia, shout out your Instagram page real quick. I didn't ask Tariq. I need to go back to his call as well to ask him, you know, this Poetic Soul Talk Show community is such a loyal community. I mean, most of the callers call in every week, and if they don't call in, they go listen to the podcast. And I think this community would support each and every one of the writers as they've supported me without knowing me from a hole in the wall. And it just is beautiful to have support. So to me, a shout out, ways in which if people want to get to know you better as an individual or a writer, that they could do that.
You can follow me on Instagram at Mimi So Free or on Facebook, Mia Murphy.
And that's Mimi spelled M-I-M-I, So Free. Thank you so much for tuning in, Tamia. Please stay with us. Don't go anywhere.
I will. Thanks, DJ.
You're welcome. Hold on one moment. Once again, y'all are tuned into a Literary Assault episode. I will be going to the next caller shortly. I do want to go back to Tariq so that he could share information on how to find out more about him as a writer as well. Tariq, are you still there? Hello? Tariq, are you there? It's his number, but I don't know. Maybe he stepped away from the phone. Well, we'll come back to him again before the episode is over. Or if Bruce, if you know, feel comfortable, you might want to let everyone know how they could get in contact with him or read his poetry or just learn more about him as a person. Fareed, by the way, I apologize for mispronouncing his name. I'm going to go to the phone lines, to the next caller. Yeah, that. I'm going to go to the next caller. What am I doing here? Okay. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from?
Hi, Dee Dee. This is Heather. I'm calling from South Jersey.
Hi, Heather. How are you?
Great.
Great. I am very happy that you were able to get through. Heather's been on the talk show a few times before, including an open mic episode or two. She's also a contributing writer to A Literary Assault on the American Mind, female. But, you know, it's Bruce, really, that brought us all together, even to get to know each other, aside from the book. And so share with us, Heather, this is your first publication. Share with us your feelings and views about A Literary Assault.
First, I want to say thank you for having me on the show, and thanks to Bruce for even considering me, since this was, my first time getting my feet wet in this arena, and I'm just beside myself. Like, this is a dream come true for me. It's something I always wanted, and just didn't know how to go about getting published. And so this was just excellent. And then, you know, the title, once he, you know, brought this to me, and I thought about the impact it would have on where we are today, it just, you know, skyrocketed for me. I sent him so much stuff. I want to apologize for the torture. But, I really appreciate this opportunity.
I'm so happy for you. I know I feel the same way, but not quite, but still the same, especially with the place that we are in history in. We haven't seemed to move very much from this place. When Bruce first brought this to us, it was around that whole Trayvon Martin type of incident. From what I could recall, it must have been shortly thereafter. And then look at how much has happened up until then. And, I mean, the book remains such a necessity, I think, for us as writers and viewers of the world. So I completely agree with where you're coming from. And so talk to us about the poetry, or one of the poems, or both of them, all of them, that you contributed.
They're all so different. So that just goes to show, like, where I was at with this whole title. So much is going on in America, and I just felt like I needed to touch base on a few different areas, and the military is one of them, you know, because we're Americans, we kind of puff our chest out and, you know, feel like we are supreme when it comes to other countries. And I have family and friends that are in the military, and they are doing well. But what about our veterans that come home and have nothing? You know, so there was a veteran that was homeless near my place of employment. So we actually became friends, because I initially would just ride by him like any other, you know, homeless person. Unfortunately, that's what we do. They become just there, you know. It's not like it's a person attached to a soul, you know, and we just kind of tune them out. But one day I just stopped just to see what was going on with him. He had a sign out there, and every day I rode by it, and just one day, you know, it pulled on my heartstrings. So, like I said, I stopped, and we, you know, began a relationship. So that was the basis of one of the poems entitled Dear Ed.
Wow.
So there's
I just wanted to intercede with that.
Okay.
And that whole military war veteran, you know, it's historical in this country for, you know, a lot of the gaps in gray areas. So it's unfortunate. That's not the first thing that pops into my mind, but I also have relatives that were or are in the military, and I think, you know, you deserve to be saluted really for even addressing that and addressing that veteran and becoming friends with them. Too often I think they're ostracized, and we know how it feels to be ostracized. So I just wanted to commend you for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So there was another poem that I wrote that I thought about, like, where our leaders are today. And, you know, like, who do we really look up to? There, back in the Civil Rights era, was Malcolm and Martin. And so, like, when you think about current America and their leaders, we don't seem to, and I'm not trying to diss Obama because, you know, I do love our president. But
yeah, please don't diss Obama. Please don't do it.
No. But our grassroots leaders, like, where are they? You know, there's no one in the forefront like it was then. And, you know, I just felt like we need to get back to that, because it's so easy for people to just, you know, talk bad about, you know, where we are right now. But what are people doing to get together and pull us up? You know, who's doing what? Who's leading the pack? Who's setting the stage for our future? So I have a lot of hope for where we're going. But, you know, you need more than hope. You need work, and you need strong people to get out there and you know, speak up for us and make some changes. So that's where that other poem came into existence.
And that's a fact. Dare I say people are afraid to do so. But, I mean, we can talk about that on another episode of the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Just for those of you still tuning in, I see people are calling. We welcome your voice. We appreciate your time this evening as we discuss and engage you in this whole conversation about America today. And a Literary Assault on the American Mind was released by Bruce Jennings, who's also on the line with us. Please feel free to ask questions, to share your experiences of or feelings regarding America as a country, and, you know, join us. We welcome your voice. Heather, are you going to be sharing a piece from the book this evening?
Hey, if that's what you want me to do, I'm ready.
Yes, ma'am. Can I make a request, though? Can I make a request?
Oh, okay.
I mean, did
whatever you like.
Maybe the one that you had in mind might be the one that I want to hear, but you know I want to hear the Dear Ed.
Oh, okay. I wasn't on that one, but let me
Okay. Unless you don't want to, and then, you know, because
no,
as poets, we care about one another. Okay. I wouldn't be upset. I have the book, and I can read it anytime. Which, by the way, y'all need to go and get the book. While Heather's looking for it, hop online, silentnoisepublishing.com, purchase your copy, A Literary Assault on the American Mind. Okay, Heather, whenever you're ready, we're listening.
All right. Dear Ed, I have to apologize for the stereotypical thoughts I allowed to rest on the devil's playground, completely shallow and surface-driven. Your tattered clothing, ungroomed display, I feared and pitied. As you set up your jazz den daily, preparing for your set, soprano sax in hand, I assume you're soliciting capital for bad habits. Turned head, wanting to ignore you, your sign screamed out to my heart, reminding me of my humanity and that we both bleed red. So I stop and digest the food for thought you serve. Sign reads, doggy bags, dinner, gratefully accepted and much appreciated. Your request, basic, food, no cash, no gimmicks. I'm ashamed. Every street person doesn't have game. And the flag you display in honor, a glimpse of you wave with pride, a part of a person I choose to dispose, but couldn't. That sign and that symbol drew me to the soul. The God in him was beyond bold. He praised the Savior with melody so pure. the same God I love and adore. He gave his life for us and taught me the true meaning of In God We Trust.
I love it.
Thank you.
And I love the story behind it, too. It really gives it, you know, the punch, even beyond the words, which are, you know, punching pretty well. The story behind it makes it even, you know, that much deeper. So thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, and your view of the book. Bruce, you there? Bruce, maybe I put him on hold. I didn't mean to do that, Bruce. I don't know. Bruce?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I didn't mean to put you on hold. That was a mistake. I apologize. Okay. So anything you want to add to say about Heather and her beautiful words and the experience of, you know, making her a contributing writer? You made her dreams come true, which is dope in and of itself, aside from her poetry, which is also pretty deep.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, her words speak for themselves. You know, she's like another emerging writer, you know, just breaking into the industry, you know, definitely going to have a spot here for a long time. You know, a lot of her pieces were selected for the book because they just embody everything that we were trying to say, you know, and just another person of the community, you know, just really wanting to give back, you know, not just in their words, but in their soul and their spirit. So I think, you know, I applaud her for her efforts, you know, on and off the page, and just, you know, just to read all of her pieces. I mean, they totally fit with the book. So, you know, it all makes sense, you know, so another great contributing writer.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Heather. We hope that you stay tuned in for the rest of the episode.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Hold on one moment. Y'all are tuned in to A Literary Assault this evening, meeting the authors. We are talking to Bruce Jennings right now, once again, the publisher, contributing poet, published author, and he is the mastermind behind A Literary Assault and pulling us all together to create this collection of poetry, which will certainly be a historical piece. If you would like to speak with us this evening, if you have questions, if you want to just share your experience with and of America, please feel free to press *1 on the phone lines if you're listening on the phone. If you're listening at blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife, don't be shy. Send your questions and comments through the chat box, and I will definitely read them on the air this evening. And so, Bruce, I would love for you to share one of your pieces from A Literary Assault on the American Mind. Are you prepared and willing to do that?
I'm always ready. Like, you know, I think, you know, I always heard Russell Simmons say, you know, somebody asks you to spit a poem or a rhyme or something, always be prepared. So absolutely.
Yay. So y'all are getting ready to get a piece of poetry from the mastermind in the book. You all have to go to silentnoisepublishing.com to purchase A Literary Assault on the American Mind. Bruce, I know you contributed several poems, and I really couldn't. I don't have a preference. I would just love to hear whichever one you choose to share, and then we can discuss it a little bit further after the audience hears your words. So whenever you're ready, we're listening.
Okay. This piece is really the piece that kind of framed the book. It's called A Literary Assault, and it goes a little something like this. Amber waves of grain. It's sundown. The writers arrive upon the shore, sons and daughters and mothers and fathers and kings and queens, friends and enemies, beauties and brawn, trust funded and soup kitchens. Bow ties and boots, evening gowns and suits, backpacks and books, guns and glory, songs and stories, seeds and soil, famished in toil, bombs and olive branches. It's colorful as hell, reds, whites, blues and greens, yellows, tans, browns and whites, slanted eyes, high cheekbones, big noses and small lips. They all are naked. They scribe the latest chapters in this beautiful book. Beautiful penmanship upon ivory paper. Poetry is the language. They spit foreign tongues, verbal floods, torrential downpours, the soaking of syllables. It's all the perfect storm. All are ripping down walls and tearing down fences, slaying stereotypes and freeing the masses. They're wreaking havoc, total destruction of this program and this known system. In the end of your known self, do you believe?
Wow. It was so much in that. I mean, from the Star Spangled Banner to, you know, parts of American history I'm pretty sure some would rather not discuss or are or may be ashamed of. I think that was the perfect piece to share on the air this evening. I didn't doubt that you would choose one, but that one was powerful. And so if you don't mind just sharing a bit of where that came from, where were you mentally in your mind when you wrote that poem?
Just thinking about the artists that are involved in the books, you know, they're, you know, their sons and daughters, his mothers and fathers in here. You know, we're all kings and queens. I really want to kind of give a description of everybody who I work with in the book. And it's real colorful because it's, you know, kind of comprising of all the different races and nationalities, you know, the different genders and so forth. So I wanted to talk about that. And then, like, I think, you know, as poetry, as we give our poetry, we become naked because we're giving of ourselves and of our insides. So we strip off our clothes. And then, you know, I think as, you know, we're talking and we're scribing like the latest, like, chapters in this book of life, it's different tongues from different countries. You know, we have someone who's from China on the book, someone who's from Jamaica, you know, just different languages. We can then, you know, we're, you know, through these new voices and these emerging voices, we're tearing down some of these stereotypes because we're all coming together for one common cause to share our experiences. And I think I asked the question at the end, do you believe? And I really just want to, I like to end a lot of my posts with open-ended questions. Just, do you believe that we can come together and just create something beautiful? And we did, and that's why I named this poem A Literary Assault.
Wow. And it was, I mean, I couldn't think of a better title for it. Rashida said to tell you that she's in love with the poem, and she clung to the title. It clung. The poem clung to the title properly, and so I just wanted to deliver that message from her. She's listening on the air this evening. Shout out to Rashida, who's also a contributing author to A Literary Assault, and this also being her first time being published. I know that makes so much of a difference in terms of, you know, this book being something worth celebrating, not only seasoned writers or writers who've been published before, but also new voices. And so, once again, Bruce, we got to tip your head, our hats to you for that, you know, opportunity. Do you want to, or are you able, do you feel comfortable sharing Fareed's information? Because I tried to go back to his call, and I think his call might have dropped. I don't see him in the queue anymore.
Yeah, I think he joined back in, but his name on Instagram is Uncle Fa, word of the day. And Fa is like, you know, he's younger than me, but he's like an uncle in the community. And he shares every day, shares a new word from the dictionary to all of his Instagram readers. And just, you know, to help our vocabulary and just to challenge us to think outside of the box with some new language and stuff like that. So once again, his Instagram handle is Uncle Fa, word of the day.
Uncle Fa, word of the day. And yes, our vocabularies, we do need to expand. I'm looking forward to following him. So definitely, if you missed any part of the show, please feel free, within 20 minutes of this episode ending, to go to blogtalkradio.com/poetry2life, 2 being the number 2, and you will be able to tune into the podcast and whatever portion of the show you might have missed, or if you just want to sit down and take it all in again, you will be able to do that. There will be a link available. So definitely. Also, Bruce, how can people get in touch with you, follow you? What are your networks looking like for those who may be a little too shy to speak on the air this evening? Because there are quite a few listeners. And once again, y'all are all welcome, but there's no pressure. Yes, Bruce, how can folks get in contact with you?
Absolutely. Definitely on Instagram and Twitter, Silent Noise Pub, you know, silent, the word silent, the noise, and PUB on Instagram and Twitter. Facebook, you know, definitely under my government name, Bruce Jennings. Instagram, Silent Noise Pub. I also have a Silent Noise Facebook page. And then, you know, just the basic website, which is www.silentnoisepublishing.com. And, you know, the same email, bruce@silentnoisepublishing.com. So, you know, I try to keep everything consistent. You know, that those are the ways just to reach out to me. And I'm always available to talk to new writers, old writers, and those whose voices are small, but their pen is mighty. That's kind of our mission. You know, we want to give a voice to the people who are unheard, and we have done that with this project.
Yes, you have, and Bruce is very approachable, very friendly in the ways of which, you know, some other people who are poets may not be. You know, we're introverts, you know, we walk sideways sometimes, and I can't say since the initial contact that I've ever gotten a bad vibe for Bruce. So, as once again, and you know, you can just Google Silent Noise Publishing if you should forget anything, but he's on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Bruce at Silent Noise Publishing is the email address, and of course, his website, as well as where you can purchase A Literary Assault on the American Mind, is www.silentnoisepublishing.com. And I do expect that you all will go out and buy this book because it's just a necessity. You just need to have it. You can read a page a day and just sit on it and digest it, because that's the type of poems in this book. And so how do you feel about America at this time in history, Bruce? What are your thoughts?
You know, I'm a little disgusted, you know, about a lot of things that are going on. You know, a lot of deaths, you know, black men, you know, Black Men Matter, Black Lives Matter. You know, I would never disqualify that. That hashtag is very important, very prevalent. But also, you know, the wars that we're in across the seas are definitely controversial topics that, you know, kind of just circle my mind. You know, the school system, which is, you know, some of the inner city schools don't have the resources, are losing funding. You know, I lived in Atlantic City for a long time, and, you know, just great teachers, great people. That community, like, really raised me into a man. So I have so much love and respect for the folks out there. But they're losing, like, a lot of, you know, resources. A lot of good teachers are going out of the community. And it's a lot of money that comes through there. So, I mean, that's an important focus. You know, just, you know, growing up in North Jersey, also, you know, Newark, you know, Brunswick, you know, everywhere around, you know, so much going on in our cities. And then that, you know, that I think Martin Luther King said, you know, if black folks are having a problem, then everybody should be having a problem. Like, you know, my freedom cannot exist without your freedom. So, you know, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And
right.
So I'm totally disgusted with a lot of things like that. The media that aren't really portraying stories that are full of hope and help, you know. So I think that I'm really upset with that. But I have a lot of hope. You know, I know a lot of great teachers, a lot of great community people that are out there fighting, and, you know, a lot of good writers who are out there, you know, talking it up and doing great things. So I have a lot of hope, and, you know, my hope rests in God, you know, because I'm very spiritual,
right.
And I think that, you know, without him, you know, we can't progress. So I think, you know, if I have hope and faith in the people, and I have hope and faith in my creator, and those are my feelings. But it's a fight right now. We're in a war.
We are, and we're not even in a war just across seas. We're in a war on our own turf. We're in a war within ourselves, trying to shift through what makes sense, what doesn't, you know, what's the truth, what's a lie, what's exaggerated, what's a distraction from the real deal, which, you know, we don't know anything about. And, you know, I completely understand where you are coming from with it. Y'all are tuned into A Literary Assault. We're kicking it, Bruce and I, right now. He is the publisher and the mastermind behind A Literary Assault on the American Mind, available for purchase as of today, today is the release date. If you would like to join us in this conversation, please feel free. Share your views of America. Press star 1 if you're listening on the phone lines, or send your questions and comments via chat box if you're listening at blogtalkradio.com/poetry2life. And so where do we go from here, Bruce? We have all contributed to this anthology. Today is the first day, so of course I know you're like tunnel vision in terms of ways we can promote it and support one another further in this particular collection of poetry. But in terms of the American mind and literature and us as writers and, you know, trying to come up and share our message, which never changes, by the way, I think it's just passed on to our children and the younger generations. Hopefully at some point there will be a resolution. Like you said, we have faith in God and, you know, we believe in fighting a good fight. Where do we go from here? Where does the literary assault goes from here? What's the next step?
We definitely have to continue to raise our kids, attack the system, any system that is not for us. You know, we need to destroy it or tear it down. You know, I think some of the things that people can specifically do are definitely always give back. Volunteer. Just take care of your community and your environment, recycle, small things like that, working in the hospitals, different things like providing blood, for different, medical conditions, donation and volunteering. I think, you got to donate money to causes that are credible and worthy. And I think the reason why I started Silent Noise, my logo is a little baby that's reading. I think, teach your kids to read at an early age, expose
yes.
them to so many colors and words and sounds and shapes and things like that, put books in their hands, but, math, like STEM, science, technology, engineering, and the math, there's a disproportionate, percentage of people, black folk that are in that field, so we need to get involved. And then, like I said, when everybody in the country is tired of us being behind in different things, and things will change, I think, part of the civil rights movement was when, a lot of, people who were non-black said, okay, we're tired of these hoses and dogs on people, so we're going to get in this fight too. And then things started
right.
to change. So I think that's a really important factor. Once, we all come together and start together against things and injustices, then we can make a lot of changes. But reading, writing, math, things like that are really important in teaching the children.
Yes, it is. And teaching them how to learn, in addition to that, I guess I'm being a teacher right now, even though I'm on vacation. Of course, being a mother, being a teacher doesn't stop. Being a father, even if you're not a certified teacher in a government way, you are still a certified teacher. And so teaching children how to learn and decipher the differences and the contradictions that they see, absolutely make a difference. If you all want to join us once again, I'll continue to invite you. Please press star 1 on the phone line. You said you grew up in Newark. Now, Newark, as I've spoken to Lady Poetry about on several occasions, was recently on the list of top 3 most dangerous cities in the United States of America. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going over there. no, thank you. But, these disparities exist in so many communities outside of our own. I mean, it goes across the country. And so people don't want to be in these places. And I can't honestly say, Bruce, that I blame them. The question is, how do we rebuild what's been torn down, or how do we restore what has changed? Because one thing that will never change is change. Change is consistent and ongoing, period. So,
yeah.
You said, volunteering, teaching our children, getting involved in some way, like you said, recycling, which is something I don't do. But I will march in a heartbeat for a cause. And, I'm just wondering what non-writers and non-educators and people that don't have children, because I see who's on the phone line this evening, and some of these things don't apply to them. How do they break into a place where their time and energy, it will be appreciated and go towards a worthy cause?
Yeah, I think supporting small business such as your own, I mean, I think you created a platform and a forum. I mean, you're making your own products, you're selling your own stuff, so you're creating a framework for your daughter and your family. I think, you know, the first poem in the book is called Ellis Island, and it talks about, the last line is, leave your child some help. You know, like a lot of folks, you know, when they grow up and their parents die, they don't leave their children anything, you know. So I think that's one part, starting own finances, your own finances and wealth, you know, generation building. I think it's really important that people can do that stuff to really help, you know, families and people growing up. And then, you know, there was a time in Harlem where they were selling brownstones for like $1, and people weren't,
man,
like, you know, we didn't even know about that, you know, like where's the information at? So, you know, like, I started Silent Noise because I wanted to tell our own story. Like, you know, I'm not going to wait for somebody else to tell me that I can write something and that is worthy of somebody reading it. So I said, I'm going to create my own platform. Start your own business. That's very important. If you're not a writer, if you can make something or create something, that's very important. You know, learn, like, share information. People, you know, they know how to make money. And, you know, we have lawyers and doctors in our communities, and they never give back. So Du Bois talked about there's a talented tenth of our population that needs to come back and give to the community and share knowledge and wealth. So we need to do that, you know. So talk about how people get into real estate and finances, and, you know, teach them how to save and share that knowledge. I think that's if you have the knowledge, don't keep it to yourself. You know, give it to a lot of different people. That's very important to me. So
those are some things that people can do. Super duper important, and you just said several different things, but I'm trying to keep up with you. Kind of hard to do. What's your alma mater? Where did you graduate from?
A lot of different places. I went to Franklin High School in Somerset, and you know, Jersey all day. You know, Jersey. You know, it's something in our water.
So I guess
it's dope. I went to Richard Stocker for undergrad, you know, which is in Jersey. Then I went to Temple for graduate school, which is in Philadelphia. So great schools, all liberal arts, you know. So I just had a lot of great teachers. You know, like I said, just the family circled up around me. You know, I have great sisters. You know, just great everything around me. So I think it is so important.
It makes a very big difference.
Yeah, man.
Y'all are tuned into a literary assault. Where are they? Where is everyone? And there are many listeners listening. Like, I'm looking at the studio, and I'm like, people are really engaged in this conversation, and no one's willing to jump in, which is fine. We're not trying to pressure you to speak. Shout out to Velcro. I met a beautiful woman online, amongst many others, of course, but Alicia Unleashed 03 on Instagram. I met her online, and I met her face-to-face a few weeks ago, face-to-face for the first time, and she's just a dope individual. And there are very many positive aspects to social media. I know it gets a bad rap sometimes, but if it wasn't for social media, then I wouldn't have encountered you, you know, Lady Poetry, so many people that I've just met face-to-face and become very connected with. And so for those opportunities, I'm very grateful. And so where do you see A Literary Assault on the American Mind being in 5 years? What's your vision long term for this anthology of poetry? If you could have it your way and your way without question, what would this book look like in 2020?
I want to see the pages of this tore up and rustled and dog-eared, and everybody with bookmarks in it. And, you know, I want to see this in every home, you know, and libraries, schools, and so forth. I want, you know, people to read. You know, if you read one poem in here, it's so many great artists, so many great perspectives, and just the diversity of themes and topics. I mean, it's stuff that addresses the LGBT community. It's things that address the political landscape. There's things that address different cultures and alleys. There's love in there. There's hate in there. There's spirituality. There's just anger. There's joy. There's passion. So I would just love to see a lot of people reading it, and I would love to see this book, you know, in the hands of a lot of people. I think, you know, writers, they write for themselves first and foremost, I think, because it's a coping mechanism for what they're going through in their life. But then they write to be read. So you know, I think, you know, there's stuff that needs to be read. I mean, one of the authors wrote a poem with the alphabet that every stanza is the a letter in the alphabet. And so the creativity in that is just outstanding, you know. Then there's
wow.
a poem about, you know, someone who like a prearranged marriage like that from someone from another country. And they're talking from the perspective of an eighth grader. And that's so fresh. And, like, you know, who gave these writers the foresight to think about this? And I'm so excited to publish these pieces. You know, there's stuff that there's traditional poetry that's like haikus and different things. So you're going to learn a little bit. This book will teach you how to write a little bit. But this book
right.
will also teach you. Just it's so much. I mean, dude, you know I could talk fast.
I know, and I'm glad you're giving the prelude because you're the publisher. Because I would hate to do it, and you'd be like, "Oh, you gave too much away." So I know you know where to put the cap on and twist it tight. And you know, if it was left up to me, I would buy a copy for every individual I know and mail it to them, not for the sake of profit, of course, but for the sake of it being in their hands. So for those of y'all tuned in this evening, please go to silentnoisepublishing.com and purchase The Literary Assault on the American Mind. Put it on your back-to-school list for your children to read as long as they're of age, because some of the language is questionable, but not much of it. Buy it for your aunt. Buy it for your girlfriend. Buy it for your husband. Buy it as a birthday gift. Buy it as a pre-Christmas gift. Get it now, though, because I've already started Christmas shopping. I was Christmas shopping at the Harlem Book Fair on Saturday, Bruce. I don't know if you know that, but I've already started, you know, stacking stuff and just support literature, support thinking, support writers, support different cultures, support a voice, support someone else's voice other than your own. Definitely get this very dope book of poetry. Before I go to the phone line, I am going to read a poem that I wrote in the book.
Yes.
I wasn't sure
Please.
Which one it should be. Tamia, shout out to Tamia, who read a book about women, and, you know, I am very much pro-women. We come under a different type of attack regardless of our skin color, culture, socioeconomic background. So I do want to read this. Oh, my God, that's the smoke alarm. Hold on 1 second. Why would the smoke alarm be going off? I just had a fire in my apartment in December, and I don't want – it's the oven. Can you get hold on 1 minute so that I don't start reading and I'm interrupted by an alarm screeching in the background. This is called Dear Women, and I did have to put a piece in the book about women. Forgive me for that brief interruption, just because I am one, and not only am I one, but I'm raising a young one, and so, you know, and shout out to my mother, too. Dear women, this world is wicked to your kind, hiding truth, imposing on the blind, defining your beauty according to what is on the news, not offering assistance when all you can do is sing the blues. Too many of your sisters raising the future alone, too often unable to identify their thrones. Your back heavy, yet you still fight. Your eyes weary, yet focused on the light. It is not a crime for you to be bashed and exposed. It is of normality for younger ones to slide down poles. For those of you who find the way out, continue to lose battles on the inside when on the outside you have earned clout. Darker skin versus lighter skin, naturals and hair weaves, all ways of segregation, brainwashing allegations, big mama deceased, little mama dancing for bands, educated ones cannot find a decent man, intimidated or intimidating, scars under every smile, prostitutes and churchgoers, same pain, different styles. I hold my fist up and pray for us all, that we may join hands so that we do not fall. For the propaganda and mental warfare that each of us face, let us not be defeated nor claim victory until each of us can love one another willingly. Sincerely, Dee Dee.
Yeah.
I think women have issues in and of themselves, and we got to be the ones to fix that. We definitely can't wait for anyone else to do that. And once again, that's Dear Women from A Literary Assault on the American Mind. There is a call waiting to speak. I do believe this is one of the contributing writers. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Michael Coe. I'm calling from San Diego.
Hi, Michael Coe. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you, Dee Dee? And hello, Bruce. Good to hear you guys.
Good to hear you. I saw that you would be calling in. I was waiting. I reposted your picture and your bio on the Instagram page, so I'm pretty sure the audience members are familiar with who you are, and now to hear your voice, it just makes it that much better. Thank you so much for calling in this evening.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for providing this forum for all of us to come and talk and listen and share our thoughts. And then I just got the book in the mail literally right before the show. I went to my mailbox, and it was in there, and it looks awesome. So I just wanted to say, Bruce,
that.
It looks great. I know. It was like perfect timing.
Couldn't get any better than that. On the day it was released, it's in your hand.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I just want to say it looks awesome. And then I was able to really look through it and check out a lot of the writers. And I know we got the printout before, so I knew a lot of the content that was going to be in it, but it's just how it's presented. It's wonderful. So, and I just wanted to piggyback off what you and Bruce were just talking about a little bit ago. It's so important to get involved in your community, and we all have something to contribute, you know. And it's with whatever our passion is, I think we all can use that in a positive way to help our community. So, and that's
absolutely
what we should all try to. Yeah, and that's what we all should try to do. And my main thing is definitely people should be aware of what's going on in their communities with, you know, because there's so many town councils meetings to go to, and also watching local news and getting involved. So
absolutely.
That would be my, you know, so.
I mean,
but
I don't think people should really complain too much if they're not going to try. If you're not going to try to get involved, then you may, you know, need to kind of close your mouth for, you know, just because, like Bruce said, if you're not a part of the problem, you know, either you're going to be a part of the problem or the solution. I agree with that as well. Before you go any further, I did want to know what your experience was with A Literary Assault on the American Mind, you know, from beginning to end, and the process, the journey towards publication. How do you feel about that, being a contributing writer?
Definitely. Bruce approached me, like you were saying earlier, he probably talked to you a little bit before me. You were saying Trayvon Martin, and that when that social issue was going on. It was a little after that, but definitely it was, you know, there's another mass shooting or another, there's some horrible news in the news. And I'm very politically active, socially active, and that shows in my writings. So when he approached me, just the title and the idea, I was like, oh, I was sold, you know, instantly. I was like, yeah, definitely. So the more I got to talk with Bruce, and then the more I learned about the other writers, and I followed your account and your talk show, and a few of the other artists and writers, and I just fell in love with the group, and then also with Bruce and the organization and what he's doing. I admire him a lot for being a small businessman, starting it and doing it. And I don't want to speak for everyone, but I'm pretty sure we all feel, you know, very supportive, and we want to support this project and, you know,
yes,
a collective group, because it's a good message what's in this book. The final product looks beautiful. And I think it's really something that we should push, and others should read, and then we should have a dialogue. And that's the most important.
I do believe that is true. And hopefully, you know, the book will kind of encourage, if not enforce, these conversations. If, you know, these issues and social issues and political things are not discussed at all, then they're never going to be addressed. And I think that might be one of the major issues in America, is the fear, it seems, or the lack of a need to talk about things and get it out there on a table. So I agree with you. And you said you're in California?
Yeah, San Diego. So, yeah, Southern California area. So definitely have had a really interesting outlook. And I was in the Midwest for a while. So, I mean, and then now, you know, with the East Coast, you know, it's all totally, we all have our own perspectives. But in the end of the day, we're all Americans, and we all live pretty much the same lives. We all want, you know, our families to be happy and provide for our families. So, you know, we're all one, and we all need
yes.
to look out for each other, you know.
I agree. And I do not support segregation in any way, shape, or form. That's part of the reason why I believe this country has so many issues. And it's not just amongst cultures. It's amongst incomes and socioeconomic backgrounds. It's amongst gender. It's so much separation. And I think it's so much power in us being united that's why the forces that may not nurture it. But I don't want to say too much because then I might end up on somebody's list. So I won't speak any more beyond that. And so, Michael, will you be sharing a poem with us this evening that you contributed to the book?
Well, I don't think I'll read mine. It's just kind of long, so I'll just let it stand for itself on the book. But I just wanted to call in and kind of you know, contribute to the conversation. I did want to say one thing that I really wanted to mention when how you just said, you know, about the division in America. And before I go, I just really wanted to say I personally think one of the main problems is the news system. And how the news works, and how it's now we're in a day and age where we're so where we get our news is all dependent on our political ideology. So conservatives go to Fox, you know, far liberals will go to MSNBC, you know, independents supposed to go to CNN. They all have their own, they're all saying the same thing, but they all say it in different ways. So then when you have conservative, you know, family get with liberal family, they're using different talking points and different verbiage that they almost can't even communicate anymore. And
no,
that is
exactly
what I personally think is what the problem is.
I agree.
And that goes right back to this one form that here we are, we're coming together, and we all can communicate and have a dialogue with this. So.
I agree. And you know what I think, to add to what you said and then, you know, bring Bruce in before we end the episode, which I think this is a dope way to end the episode. I watch Fox and I'm not necessarily conservative. On certain issues I am, and I won't get into my political views at all because they really don't matter. I think they both pretty much opposite and the same, if that makes any sense at all. But I do watch them all because I'm intrigued by the way they all deliver it so differently. And it makes you feel different as you're listening to it, even though it's the same story that you saw on a channel before, the connotation of what's being said and the tone. I pick up on those things, and I just wonder if other people are conscious of the way that may also influence their way of thinking without them even knowing. Bruce, Michael, this author, this poet is amazing. Talk about him.
Man, Michael Kodesh, I have yet to grace him and to meet his, to sit in his presence, but he's my brother. He's a great writer. He's a great performer, you know, he's a great individual. Just the energy that's on his pages, just by the conversations that we had, and, you know, he was like a no-brainer when I came across his stuff and his work. I was like, yeah, I got to get this guy in there, and hopefully we'll be working on, you know, some projects in the future. But, you know, Michael Coe, I mean, just, you know, follow him on all his social media, listen to what he has to say, and, you know, he's just just an important, you know, piece of the American society, and I think just we're so happy to have him, you know, within the pages of this book also.
Yes, I mean, just listening to him for a few moments, I'm like ready to get up and start walking around with a picket sign in my house. I just I feel the energy and the passion. I'm like, yes, the fish up, and it's not about gender, culture, age. I don't know any of that. I just know that we are one, like Michael said, and that's something that if we don't sometimes remind ourselves of, we'll get caught up in the media and the world around us and feel like we're alone when that is so not the case. Michael, can you share with the audience how they could hear more of what you're saying and writing and thinking, your social media or your contact information?
Yes. Yeah. Like you were saying earlier, I think social media has its faults, you know, the selfie generation. But I have plenty of social medias. But you can basically just go to michaeltco.com, or you could just Google Michael T. Coe. It should go to my website, and then on there has everything. But also, just like Bruce said, stick with Bruce. Me and him, we're going to work with another project, and then I'm sure he has other projects with other writers that are going to be amazing too. So, this is just the beginning of some great things. So thank you, Dee Dee. Thank you, Brother Bruce. And everything is awesome. So great job.
Yes.
And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for calling in from across the country, and I hope to hear more from you moving forward. I'm going to Google you and get in contact with you and see what you got going on over there. But thank you for your time and your energy. It's very,
thank
very
you.
Appreciated. You're welcome.
Thank you, Dee.
Hold
Bye-bye.
On one. You're okay. Hold on. Don't hang up, Michael.
Okay.
Okay. Y'all have tuned in to A Literary Assault this evening on the Poetic Soul Talk Show. We've spoken to some dope poets. Heather, who's still listening, please follow her if you haven't already, because she's been on the show before, at Snuggles F as in friend, the number 9, number 3. Snuggles F, 93. Uncle Fa, word of the day. Follow him, Bruce, Silent Noise Pub, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and definitely go get the book, Literary Assault on the American Mind, by going to silentnoisepublishing.com. Bruce, I'm going to let you take us out in whichever way you see fit, either to, discuss the book a little bit more, the writers that called in, whatever you would like to say. The show, the floor is yours.
She shouldn't have to show you who she is anymore. She's just asking who you are and what's your place in the struggle. So I say, America the beautiful. I dance freely on 42nd Street. I do a Chicago two-step. Act like I'm at a South Beach party, a praise dance in this image, and you, me, and we are America, the good, the bad, the ugly, and let's speak of the beautiful things. So I sip fresh essence of love in the shade of a willow tree in Savannah. There was a cool breeze that surrounded me. And I found out that there's greatness in the law at North Carolina Central University. So one day I was there in a band of middle-aged black and skinned men played a great symphony down Lenox Ave and close to the Savoy Ballroom, and I danced. In my 36 years, I've never seen so many road projects, so I guess that guy owed people to work. Black people are graduating college, and Spanish people are immigrating. There are two teachers in the Bronx who work relentlessly to make sure that their students are ready for the world and the word. And let me show you about love. The best conversations are Fridays and Saturdays in the barbershop. And driving from Philly to L.A., I found a general store on Route 66. Do you know anybody who has been to South Dakota? But I hear they're beautiful. I found a creek in the middle of the forest in Minnesota, and I put my feet in the water and closed my eyes and dipped my head. I biked along the Pacific Coast Highway, and in East St. Louis, I went to a barbecue, and the food was just wonderful. Have you ever ran your hands across the Tennessee bluegrass? The orange moons are so visible in Augusta, Georgia, and my granddad's garden had bright red tomatoes, and he used to call them maters. The Library of Congress is an architectural masterpiece, and in 99, gas was 99 cents, and that was so sexy. I know so many that have a mother and a father and 2.5 children, and a good dollar store in the hood is priceless. 100 worker ants can still move a Dorito, and let's hear it for the town that has a crime rate that is negative. My friend Irene Feinberg had these numbers tattooed in her skin, and she dedicated her life to helping the children in Ducktown, Atlantic City. And my best friend is Scott Mayer, a Jewish brother who was one of the best graphic designers in the world. I went to Mexico on vacation, and I watched the World Cup with someone who was from Arkansas. And on the New Jersey Turnpike, I saw that they planted a beautiful batch of wild violet green flowers and blue flowers and red flowers. I know someone's husband who was in remission from cancer, and justice was served in Florida for loud music on September 29th. The local skydiving company profits has increased, so I guess people are becoming wanderers and dreamers. Sally, who was four, made bubbles in her bathtub, and who had the foresight to build brownstones of Harlem and plant trees that are so beautiful? Studies show that manicures and pedicures and massages make everything all right, and the Bolt and Megabus are only $1 or $7 to anywhere. That's fresh to death. On 72nd Street, you can get the best papaya hot. New York summers are meant to be outside, and you, me, and we, us and them, are beautiful, and we are America. Thank you.
Mm. Well, now you done killed it before the episode ended. Thank you, Bruce, for that poem. Is amazing. And your spirit and your energy and your drive and your ability to pull people together and promote literature and arts and education and poetry and the fist pump, and we thank you. And I do hope that you will join us again on the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Thank you so much for your time this evening and all that you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are welcome. We are ending this episode. Please go by, once again, A Literary Assault on the American Mind, silentnoisepublishing.com, and tune in next week, Thursday, for another dope episode of the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Have a great evening.